tit for tat. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Wednesday, August 24th, 2022. It is 8:33 already a.m. where you are, probably. On the East Coast, it's 8:33 where it matters. I am in Central Time right now. It's actually 7:33, so it's actually kind of early here, but it's I was up till midnight last night, Eastern Time. Actually, a little past that, closer to 1 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Time. Had a long day yesterday. I had a long drive. I actually drove yesterday to Appleton, Wisconsin, which is where I'm at now. And I am in the hotel here. I like this hotel. I like this area is a nice area to be in. Not all of Appleton is, but this area is. Most of Appleton is a really, really good place to hang out. I prefer this much over. I'm going to say it. I like this better than Atlanta. There's some places in Atlanta that are nice, but it's kind of the inverse, you know. In the inverse world, there's like 10% of the places in Atlanta that are kind of nice, and there's 90% of the places in Appleton that are nice. I'm up here right now because I have to deal with my cup. I have my cup. What's in my cup is the last of my homemade sweet tea. I forgot to bring. My wife had purchased some sweet tea, the store-bought stuff. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. And I accidentally left it at home. I was going to bring that with me, so I would have some here, but I totally forgot it. This is an area that doesn't have sweet tea that often. Chick-fil-A does, but I usually go over there and buy a couple large cups of that just to tide me over. However, not every restaurant has sweet tea here. In Atlanta, if you don't have sweet tea, you're not in business. You have to have sweet tea to even be a legitimate restaurant. Here, it's not that way necessarily. This is North Country here. So I have in my cup. It's a very special cup. It's called a Chesed cup. I have the name Chesed on there. Chesed, which is a Hebrew word. It's actually a three-letter word in Hebrew. And it means loving kindness, mercy, and grace. Basically, all of God's goodness, all kind of wrapped up into one explanation. The word Chesed, the Chesed of God, and that's also the name of my boat. Unfortunately, the way it's spelled, people think it says cheesed because it looks like C H E S E D. Looks like cheesed or whatever. Chesed. They don't know. They don't know how to pronounce that part of it. Chesed. So, that's the story behind the cup there this morning. I also have a backup cup. I've got a cup of water that comes from my home. Best water on the planet. The word today is tit for tat, and it's not really a word. It's more than one word. I guess it's three words, but it's a phrase. And I'm hearing a lot of this stuff about so many times, and Sean Hannity is popular. Or I shouldn't say he's popular for this. He uses this strategy quite often, as do many Republicans use this a lot of time. And it's not a winning argument, in my opinion. It's not a winning strategy. You can bring it up, but it doesn't win over. The goal, really, for the Republican Party is to win over people who are on the left or the independents who are leaning left. If you can get those people educated, they will come to their senses. Amy Horowitz did a recent, just as an example, he did a really interesting report where he went to an alternative lifestyle conference. I think they were mostly, it was like an LGBTQ type conference type thing, or demonstration, protest, whatever you want to call it. And he went and he was asking these people on the street, he was asking them, you know, what they felt about the Palestinian struggle that was going on. And of course, they all sided with the Palestinians, and they all sided with he went through the whole thing and how the Islam movement there was, you know, at odds with Israel, and they were pro-Palestinian, and then, you know, totally against Israel. Now, what was interesting about it was once he played, he went, so he went to Israel. He went to the Palestinians and he talked to gay and lesbian people there. They were in hiding. They wouldn't come out and speak unless they were had their identities hidden. They, you know, he interviewed several people who were the leaders of the communities and talked about how they will openly stone and kill people who are gay and lesbian in Gaza and in the area where the Palestinians are. So he went back and he took this this footage to the same people. Now, I don't know if it's exactly the same people or the same groups of individuals, and showed them this footage. He said he very rarely does this kind of thing. He felt like this was kind of an important thing to go back and see what their opinion of this was. So he went back and showed them this footage of the interviews and things that he had done with these people that this had happened. And immediately, they had no idea that the gay and lesbian community was treated that way by the oppressive leadership that they have in that community. It's appalling when you look at the facts and the money and all the things that are happening with the Palestinian movement and those who are at the top of it, those who perpetuate the whole thing. They are the Jesse Jacksons and Al Sharptons of our world. And if you ask Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton publicly what they believe about Palestine, they would tell you that Palestine should have their own state. The Palestinians are oppressed people. They're against Israel, probably. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that's the way it goes because most of the left does. Most of the left is anti-Israel. Now, there's reasons for that. I don't think we should just be all in for Israel just all the time because it's Israel. Israel can do no wrong, kind of thing. The government's made up of people, and people make mistakes, and they do stupid things. However, it's very clear in Scripture and you're talking about the people of Israel, now we're talking about those are the people we bless. God made it very clear, never retracted, never called a curse on Israel that since he's given them the blessing of being his chosen people. And by faith, because we, you know, Jesus, by the way, Jesus was a Jew, in case you didn't know. He was born a Jew, raised a Jew, fulfilled all of the things of the Jewish faith. He was crucified as a Jew by the Jews. So you can say the Romans, but the Jews were really the Jewish leaders, the ones that brought it about. And in the process, he rose from the dead as a Jew, was taken up into the clouds as a Jew. For some reason, there are a number of people who believe that when he comes back, he's going to come back as a Catholic, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. You have to understand that the Jewish... I could go down a real long rabbit hole here with the whole Roman Catholic faith thing. But it's... and I don't mean to besmirch you if you are a Roman Catholic. That's not the intent here at all. But it's just there's so many things that are worth talking about that I'm not going to talk about this morning because I don't have time. However, the interesting thing about all this is that there is a lot of anti-Semitism within the Western church culture. And it blows my mind sometimes that how much there is of that among believers and how they kind of recoil from the Jewish faith. And yet, by faith, we have been engrafted into the Jewish faith. Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them. So are you. There's a little song we used to sing as kids. Father Abraham was basically the father of the Jewish religion, if you want to call it that, Jewish faith. So it boggles the mind to see the anti-Semitism that people aren't even aware of, typically. And it exists within the church, and it's not really well known, or even sensed or felt, or that it's not even brought up or talked about much at all. And we have our Western culture ways of doing things, and that's what we go down. Now, the whole purpose of this podcast this morning, by the way, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a virologist or a epidemiologist. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a CPA. I'm just a guy with a microphone talking from his laptop this morning. And one of the things that kind of gets me, and I was talking about this whole tit for tat thing. Something that doesn't faze anyone is when you bring up, well, what about when Hillary Clinton did this and they didn't do anything? What about when Eric Holder did that and they didn't go after him? They found him in contempt of Congress and they didn't arrest him. And what about this and that? A couple things that come up when all this stuff starts happening. Like, you can go down this rabbit hole and you start finding yourself in areas that people don't care. They tune out at some point. The vast majority of the masses will tune out to that kind of rhetoric. First of all, on the left, they don't care. Talk about being hypocritical all you want. They don't care. That's not hypocritical. Being hypocritical isn't on their radar. Doesn't count for them. When Trump was talking about going after Hillary Clinton for her crimes, it was, oh, you can't go. She was the loser. You were the winner. You can't go after her because you're the winner. Those were things that the people were saying on the left. Well, now all of a sudden, the loser's fair game. You see how this works? It's because it's not a Democrat. Well, he's a criminal. He had documents. He had 300 documents that were classified. He went through the boxes himself. Now, that's the latest claim now. Now, there's some interesting filings going on. Trump has finally filed a lawsuit against this whole thing, and he's going after them. Apparently has any, it's a master of the court. It's kind of goes above and beyond. And of course, I'm sure it's going to be bipartisan. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, nonpartisan, whatever you want to call it, person who looks over this whole thing. This is a risky move because you never know if you're going to get a proper hearing on this or not. When you're dealing with court, we have so many activist judges now that they don't care about the law. They care about the social construct that they have, this narrative or whatever it is that they're pushing from the bench. The law isn't blind anymore. It doesn't pertain to each individual equally. It pertains to inequity. So that's what we have going on right now. You have rights that are diminished if you are a particular race or a particular gender. Or other people have special rights. It's the same way of saying, if you give people special rights, that means other people's rights are diminished. Because that means you have better rights or more rights than I have. And that's not fair or equal at all. That's what our nation was founded on, was the idea of individual equal rights. And the government was charged with protecting those and upholding those. When they swear an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, that is exactly what they are upholding and defending. That's the main core of everything they're defending. Everything stems from that. The responsibility the government has to protect the borders, to protect our nation, to do, you know, act on a civil basis in terms of eminent domain, those kinds of things. Those are all part of individual rights protections, and they are tearing those apart rapidly. Amazingly, they're using the very rights we have to tear the rights apart because they want to be the keeper of the rights. They don't like the fact that the government isn't the one who is the curator of our rights. God gave us our rights, and yet what they want to do is they want to usurp those and take them away from us. And the Democrats get, they always say, look at the rights we've given, of all the rights that this Congress has given the people. This is the most important one. They're making that statement right after the Affordable Health Care Plan, the Obamacare, passed. They were saying, look at all the, this is the biggest, this is the most important right we've ever given the people. Congress doesn't give us our rights. Now, I have a solution or at least one antidote in one particular argument that I think the Republican Party needs to pick up on this stuff. And until they do, they are not going to win this tit-for-tat argument because the left doesn't care about the tit-for-tat. And it sounds like a whining child when you do this kind of thing. When you come out with this, well, but Hillary did this and they didn't raid her home. Well, first of all, that's not even comparable. Hillary was never president. She was Secretary of State. She doesn't have the privileges and rights with regard to executive privileges, the right to declassify information. She didn't have the rights to do those kinds of things as Secretary of State. And yet they're treating her as if she was like she was one of the presidents. She wasn't. She was a candidate. She lost. Doesn't give you executive privileges or executive powers. So now we find out now that Biden apparently was at the beginning of this whole thing. And again, this comes down to who is really instigating this stuff. I don't believe Merrick Garland is the planner, and he's just the executor. He's just the useful idiot, the stooge in this whole process. He's not the one coming up with these plans and doing all this stuff. There are people on the January 6th committee, and not even those people. Those people are all stooges as well. It is the people like Susan Rice and, yes, Valerie Jarrett and Obama are behind that. Now, I don't even think Obama is the mastermind of any of this stuff. Valerie Jarrett is Obama's brain. We have this going on. It is probably her behind the scenes with her team and all their cronies who are coming up with this stuff and running the show. This is what I call the evidence of things unseen, that these things are coming up. We know Jerry Nadler I can't believe Jerry Nadler just won another primary. Who puts this? I don't know. They were cheering him on. Jerry, Jerry. It's like, it sounded like the Jerry Springer show. So we have, it's just unbelievable how these people remain in office. There's no corruption there, though. Nothing to see there. No. And of course, a Democrat, I think, beat. There was a special election, I guess, and some Democrat beat a Republican. There was a Trump Republican barely beat him. And that was this is not going to be. Of course, Brett Baer gets on there and says, "Hey, this is going to be a red wave, or is this just going to be a red ripple? It's not going to be a big landslide, because obviously this is to think, you know, things to come. The Republican Party is not, you know, Trump Republicans. This was in New York, and the area that it was in New York. I wouldn't have suggested that the Republican would even get one vote. So the fact that he was that close, I think, is very telling. However, there's also an area that's known for its corruption in terms of voter fraud. So it's not that anybody would do that or that there was any widespread indication of any. Because we've done an exhaustive investigation. You know, Bill Barr, I'm sure he did an exhaustive investigation before he came out and said there was no evidence of any widespread voter fraud. Because he had a team, I'm sure, working on it. I'm sure he could show us the records of the expense report that they had, the budget that was allowed, and the agents that worked on it. I'm sure that they did an exhaustive investigation into whether or not there was any voter fraud, widespread voter fraud. I'm sure he was on top of that all from day one. Yeah. I'm sure he dug into that before he made the statement, you know, a week after the election. And then you got independents out there, independent investigators and journalists doing far more work than he's ever done in terms of investigating any kind of fraud in the election. And we're finding out all kinds of things that they're saying that there's basically, well, no, I'm saying it's not true, so it can't be true. I'm saying it's not so, so it's not so. Anyway, so here's the deal. We have they come out with this stuff and they give this tit for tat thing. And so now they're coming out and they're saying, well, Biden, the big point on the right now is that Biden lied. Well, Biden lied. He knew all about this. He knew what was going on. He knew the DOJ. They're saying that he was the one who set it into motion because he released the executive powers. Biden basically took away the executive privilege of Donald Trump. I did not know that a president can take away a former president's executive powers. I didn't realize that, executive privilege. But apparently he released that so that they could go after him. Now, So there had to have been a communication with the administration. Now, whether or not they talked to Joe himself, who knows? What they probably just keep him in a room, you know, playing Scrabble. I don't know what he does. So they had whatever was going on there. But here's the deal. You know, when we hear, and this is a little bit different of a left turn here, but one of the things that I think the Republicans need to do, and they need to go on the attack in terms of policy. And one of the biggest things, in my opinion, is something like education. The education thing is in the news right now, that Biden's talking about forgiving student debt because, you know, we're getting close to the midterms and we got to have, they're pulling out all the stops, throwing money at people, giving people free education, forgiving loans, the whole thing. And in the process of doing that, you know, the Republicans need to come out and say, would you rather, if you had a choice between the government giving you free education or your students, your children, free education, free, as in taxpayer-funded education, or would you rather be able to afford yourself to be able to afford paying for the education that you want for your child, to send your child to any college you want to because you can afford to do so? Would you rather that, or would you rather have the government tell you where you're going to get free education? Which would you rather have? If you had a choice, if you had to choose between one or the other, you being able to afford to send your child anywhere you want to, had the means to afford to send them anywhere you want to, or would you rather that the government tell you, this is your free education, this is where you're going to go now? The vast majority of Americans would rather have the affluence to be able to pay for their own health care or to pay for their own schooling, or to pay for the things that they want, to buy their own home, to not have to deal with it. That's what they would rather have. And the Republicans need to run on that, on an economy that will give them that. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to work. But you will own it. And you can afford it. That's what they need to run on. Your independence. And your independence starts with a good economy. Your economic situation. Your ability to produce, raise funds. So I digress. Here we are, Wednesday, August 24th. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Like, you're basically just listening. God bless everybody. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Take care, and we'll get through this. We need to be warriors of information.